Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very, very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. At His Way Out Ministries, we agree that we live in a sexually broken society in which homosexuality is sin, and such conduct calls for repentance and openness to the transforming power of God. At His Way Out Ministries, we affirm that all persons need the ministry of the church in their struggle for sexual wholeness, and we commit ourselves to that end. We do not condone the practice of homosexuality and consider such practice incompatible with Christian teaching and conduct. At His Way Out Ministries, we believe that God's grace is available to all who repent. Today, some Christians think homosexuality is a topic too controversial or risque for the church. Some might even think their church doesn't have anyone struggling with same-sex attraction, so maybe their congregation doesn't need to address the issue. Some might not want children or teenagers to hear about homosexuality in church. But reality dictates that the majority of people in church, even if they are not struggling themselves, have someone they know or love who is gay identified. And the reality is that the world is talking about homosexuality, and the world will not quit talking about it until it no longer bothers anyone. Until everyone, including the church, no longer cares about homosexual practice. Once homosexual practice is no longer seen as a concern or problem, it then will become normalized. Having conversations with many people, often, actually very often today, I am offered the statement, homosexuality? Who cares? But is that really, really the true attitude of some today? Many would say, I have family members who are gay, and they're just like everyone else. I don't understand why it would be wrong for two people, even two people of the same gender, to love each other. This comment is typical of the changing attitude of many toward homosexuality. It does seem that people today increasingly approve of homosexuality as a valid life option for friends and family members. But once again, is that truly the case? No doubt, part of the reason for what seems to be a growing acceptance of homosexuality is the consistent presentation of homosexual relationships as healthy, satisfying, and long-lasting by the media. In many cases, the media represents homosexual relationships in a far better light than corresponding representations of heterosexual marriage relationships. Many popular TV shows deliberately target the public by including a gay or lesbian character who is almost always sympathetically portrayed. Any opposition to homosexual behavior is usually shown on the screen as coming from bigoted, close-minded, self-righteous, ignorant Christians. Is it any wonder, based on what so many have been bombarded with, that many now approve of homosexuality. However, is that true? Is that indeed a fact that people are more approving of homosexual practice, or is it they have become just complacent? Today, in many schools, students who identify themselves with an alternative sexual identity are given special praise by teachers and classmates. A student who feels different or lonely can suddenly gain a spotlight of positive attention by proclaiming he or she is gay, bisexual, or any of a dozen other sexual classifications. Unsurprisingly, the incidence of same-gender experimentation is on a rapid increase. Clearly, and with no tolerance for a different opinion, children are being taught only one view of homosexuality. And that one view is leading many children to conclude that embracing a gay identity and homosexual behavior is either good for them or, at worst, of no consequence. However, any faithful follower of Jesus Christ knows that homosexual behavior does have lasting consequences, and that withholding the news that same-sex attraction isn't set in stone does a huge disservice to society. But what about Christians that have embraced the conservative position regarding homosexual practice? Are they immune to the cultural influences pushing them to approve of homosexuality? At His Way Out Ministries, our interaction with churches of all denominations frequently produces many pastors who mistakenly believe homosexuality isn't a problem in their church. "We don't have that problem here," is a frequent response. Unfortunately, this response is naive and almost always wrong. Parents and church leaders can no longer afford to stay silent on this issue due to many Christians finding themselves caught in the crossfire of a very difficult dilemma. There is no doubt many Christians have been strongly influenced by the continuous parade of positive media representations of homosexuality. Christians can hardly watch a favorite show on television or catch a movie at the theater without being bombarded with a message that often undermines biblical perspectives on human sexuality. At schools, many students are explicitly taught that Christian morality is antiquated and intolerant. On the other hand, some parents and churches are deliberately choosing to remain silent while their children are being bombarded with pro-gay propaganda and rhetoric. Or the message students hear is one of judgment and rebuke and not one of redemption. And so, in the absence of credible direction from positive moral authorities in their lives, many young people simply accept what the culture is teaching them. Even children from Christian families, if they are not getting corresponding teaching about the options for those with same-gender attractions, wrongly assume there are no options to homosexuality. And if there are ones who are dealing themselves with attractions to their own sex, they will likely be open to the voices that affirm the rightness of their feelings. Christians are frequently caught in the middle. Do they hold to the instructions of Scripture and the church and risk being labeled bigots? Or do they reject their faith convictions as outdated and accept what I would label today as a new morality? Far too many have decided that it is simply not safe to have a contrary opinion in this hostile world, so they discard their Christian witness. Today, more than ever, the world desperately needs to know why, in God's eyes, homosexual practice is unacceptable, and that there are options for those who are homosexually inclined. Everyone needs to hear a message about homosexuality that offers the balance of grace and truth while bringing the full gospel to light. Any man or woman struggling with secret same-gender attractions needs to hear that they do not have to be gay and that change is possible. Can you imagine how any individual feels when hearing angry denunciations of their secret shame from the pulpit? Such condemnations pushes them away from the church when what they really need are welcoming arms to embrace them. They need the gospel message that God loves them in spite of their temptations and that He offers forgiveness for all sins and that He promises to transform the very hearts of those who come to Him. Also, any individual that has never struggled with this particular temptation needs to know that they can hold firmly to biblical sexuality without becoming hateful bigots. Both silence and angry denunciations only to serve and to stifle one's confidence in sharing their faith. So once again, let's consider some very practical points the gospel communicates regarding the practice of homosexuality. First and foremost, God designed sexuality as a beautiful part of His creation to unite a husband and a wife as they create new life together. Any use of sex outside this created intent issues in harm. Therefore, we are not trying to be non-sexual. We are, as faithful followers of Christ Jesus, we are each and everyone trying to be sexually responsible. As a result of our rebellion against God, we are each tempted to pursue our own ways, often doing what seems most natural to us. Homosexuality, the practice thereof, not being God's design for human sexuality, leads to sin, pain, and broken relationships, just like other sexual sins do as well. It is important to note that God loves people who struggle with same-sex attraction, just like He loves all other sinners. God Himself offers His grace and forgiveness in Christ to any person who will come to Him regardless of his or her particular sins, including the brokenness of same-sex attraction. Healing and change are possible for men and women who struggle with homosexual temptations. This biblical truth, this biblical fact, is clearly offered and defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Now this morning, I'm going to take some time by addressing a few myths that often surround the topic of homosexuality while offering a positive note to each myth that promotes biblical sexuality and redemption themes from Scripture. Myth number one, homosexuality is hereditary. There is a gay gene that causes homosexual attraction. Many scientists have spent the past 60 years trying to prove that homosexuality is something a person is born with. They each and every one have failed. Study after study has failed to produce a gay gene. Again, 60 years of research has failed to find a genetic cause for homosexual temptation and attraction. But what if they found one tomorrow? Would it really matter? According to the Bible, not one bit. God does not let us off the hook for our behavior just because we're tempted. In fact, Scripture clearly tells us that we will each be tempted in all kinds of ways because of the evil desires inside each and every one of us. Some people are tempted to have premarital sex. Some are tempted to cheat on their girlfriends or boyfriends. Because humanity has rebelled against God, we are all tempted to do wrong. However, that does not mean that we can go out and do whatever we choose. That just means that it's hard for each and every one of us to obey God. And when we fail, God forbid, we all have to fall back on God's grace and His mercy to restore us. Myth number two, homosexuality is no different from heterosexuality. Pro-gay leaders are doing their utmost to convince us that homosexuality is no different from heterosexuality. Do you recall the movie Brokeback Mountain that hit the movie theaters a few years ago, and what a flurry the movie caused? Did anyone possibly notice that both of the actors portrayed in this movie, both playing gay men in the movie Brokeback Mountain, were strong, handsome men who in real life were actually fully heterosexual? Gay activists are relentless in using every dishonest tactic to indoctrinate all of us with their views and their beliefs. Now, here is what I believe is a good question to consider. Is homosexual behavior different from sex inside marriage? Hands down, yes. I think that's probably why disease, depression, violence, and drug abuse are often far more prevalent in the gay community than most of the country. A sexual relationship with someone of the same gender might feel good for a time, but it can never heal the pain deep down inside, that place where the person hurts and feels like that they do not measure up like so many men and women do with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. And a homosexual relationship can never fill that place in our lives that a relationship with the opposite gender is supposed to fill. It's just how God made us. Myth number three. Once again, many that have bought into the notion, once gay, always gay. Have you ever tried to get past a particular sin in your own life? To stop doing something that you know is wrong? While it is not easy, it is indeed possible through Christ Jesus. People leaving a gay lifestyle have to wade through a lot of changes. First is how they think of themselves. To stop thinking of oneself as gay or lesbian and begin to think of themselves as men and women, creations of God, and people that God loves in spite of their particular form of brokenness does not occur overnight. They also have to change their behavior and to stop doing things that God says are wrong and learning to obey Him one step at a time, and that indeed involves a process. Then there's a matter of deep wounds and hurts, deep-rooted pain that needs to be healed. And that takes the powerful work of God in our hearts and time to work through the problems that we each have found in our lives, once again pointing to the process of transformation and healing in Christ. Finally, there's a change of sexual expression and attractions. This doesn't happen again by just trying to really be hard and biting the bullet and seeing ourselves through to come out the other side. It doesn't happen by looking at straight pornography or what some would define and say that we are just to see ourselves differently. We enter a process which points to an element of time, and the process in our lives of becoming whole in Christ points to a process that's ongoing in our lives till we either go home to be with Jesus or He comes back to get us. Indeed, it's a process of changing how we view ourselves, changing behaviors, and changing the way that you and I deal with emotions and in relationships, finding healing for those places, those hurtful places in our heart that only God Himself can heal. You know, it's not like God is demanding any more of homosexually attracted people than anyone else. He wants the same thing in each of our lives, our love and our obedience to Him. and he promises to change us so we can love and obey him. All Christians can experience change in their lives through the power of God and the power of prayer. All Christians can experience change by being a new creation in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and that God promises that change through him, even those who are homosexually inclined, can arrive at a place of healing and wholeness. Another myth is, it's mean to say homosexuality is wrong. I'm confident that each and every one of us have at least at some point been told to say that homosexuality is mean. But is it bad or wrong to help friends, co-workers, neighbors, or family members avoid bad choices? Yes, it is possible to tell someone homosexuality is wrong and be mean-spirited about it. But we can also try to communicate our concern with deep compassion and real concern. What if our boldness saves them from a lifetime of pain and regret? Another myth, if you think homosexuality is wrong, you're just being homophobic. Homophobia is a label that's used to make fun of people who disagree with homosexual practice. But homophobia has nothing to do with your moral view on homosexuality. The word is a psychological term that means an irrational fear of homosexuals. Unless you run screaming from the room, frothing at the mouth when you see someone who acts gay, afraid they might be afraid of you because you see them as gay, you are not homophobic. Now here's something else I believe is important to consider. What about someone who labels you as homophobic for disagreeing with them as bullying? Wouldn't you agree that it's intolerant when someone refuses to hear your viewpoint and calls you names instead? Homophobia is always used as an embarrassing label to shut up people who refuse to be politically correct. Please, do not let intolerance by people who label you as homophobic keep you from sharing the truth. And the final myth that I would offer is this. Tolerance means approving of however anyone lives. Who says that you cannot be tolerant of someone while standing up for what you believe? Tolerance doesn't mean you can't disagree with others. Grace, indeed, is a two-lane highway. The Apostle Peter talks about this in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. He says, if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. The key here is gentleness and respect. Sharing what we believe can be accomplished respectfully. If the church will step out and educate believers, equipping them with informative responses to cultural myths about homosexuality, I firmly believe we can turn the tide on this issue. Silence, once again, simply will not cut it anymore. Personally, my constant hope and prayer is that all people will realize there isn't a special antidote for ministering to those with same-sex attractions any more than there is one ministering to those with an unhealthy love for food, money, heterosexual sin, or whatever form of brokenness. The same God who sent his son for you sent his son for the homosexual. Today, I would term what many are referring to as sloppy agape is a growing and unfortunate trend in the mainstream church today. By sloppy agape, I mean giving grace at the expense of standing upon truth. The Gospel of John is clear in its description of Jesus. Jesus was 100% grace and 100% truth. He never erred on one side or the other. If we are to truly represent Christ's heart and his mind, then we must be equally balanced in these two critical areas as well. As a body of Christ, we must renounce and repent of our fear and insecurity in dealing with the issue of homosexuality. The existing reality is that homosexuality and those who deal with it in our cities, churches, and even in some of our homes is simply not going to just go away. Those struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction must be given the opportunity to choose Christ and change if they desire to do so. This is no time to hold back from sharing truth and love and in the spirit of transformation. The world is talking about homosexuality from its view of acceptance, and the church must likewise share the redemptive and reality of change, our side, God's side of the story, as an equal balance. What are so many afraid of? 2 Timothy chapter 1 states clearly, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Personally, I continue to believe the church would see more men and women surrender their lives to Christ Jesus and enter God's transformation if, by and large, they would quit being told what they want to hear instead of what they need to know. Homosexuality? Who cares? At His Way Out Ministries, we work every day to get the message of hope, of God's grace, and transformation out to as many as will listen. We covet and appreciate your prayers. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to offer a variety of ministry services, including biblical discipleship, care groups, workshops and seminars, educational resources are all available. Please visit our website, which is hiswayout.com, as well as our Facebook page. And there you will find regular postings and a wealth of information on our website and Facebook page. Each and every one of the resources we offer are there to educate and equip you to be more effective in representing Christ Jesus to the sexually broken and offering a redemptive reply that indeed, when God says today, with Him all things are possible, that includes freedom from the brokenness and the snare of same-sex attraction. At His Way Out Ministries, we can continue to travel the world sharing that with God, freedom is possible. I encourage you once again, please take advantage of all that we offer on our website. Please download all the information and use it. We hope that it will inspire you and equip you to be more effective in representing Christ Jesus to the sexually broken. Once again, on behalf of all of us at His Way Out Ministries, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you will tune in again next week, same time, same station. And until then, may our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.